So we are continuing our reading. We are on chapter 15 of the 8th canto, which is entitled Bali Maharaj Conquers the Heavenly Planets. Thank you, Prabhu. So this is a very interesting chapter, but it has practically no purport. Just translation after translation for many, many verses. Anyway, we'll see. This chapter describes how Bali, after performing the Vishwajit Yajna, received the benediction of a chariot and various kinds of paraphernalia for war, with which he attacked the king of heaven. All the demigods, being afraid of him, left the heavenly planets and went away, following the instructions of their guru. Maharaj Parikshit wanted to understand how Lord Vamanadev, on the plea of taking 3 paces of land from Bali Maharaj, took everything away from him and arrested him. Shukadev Goswami responded to this inquiry with the following explanation. In the fight between the demons and the demigods, as described in the 11th chapter of this canto, Bali was defeated and he died in the fight. But by the grace of Shukracharya, he regained his life. Thus he engaged himself in the service of Shukracharya, his spiritual master. The descendants of Bhrigu, being pleased with him, engaged him in the Vishwajit Yajna. When this yajna was performed, from the fire of the yajna came a chariot, horses, a flag, a bow, armor, and 2 quivers of arrows. Maharaj Prahlad, Bali Maharaj's grandfather, gave Bali an eternal garland of flowers, and Shukracharya gave him a conch shell. Bali Maharaj, after offering obeisances to Prahlad, the Brahmanas, and his spiritual master Shukracharya, equipped himself to fight with Indra and went to Indrapuri with his soldiers. Blowing his conch shell, he attacked the outskirts of Indra's kingdom. When Indra saw Bali Maharaj's prowess, he went to his own spiritual master, Brihaspati, told him about Bali's strength and inquired about his duty. Brihaspati informed the demigods that because Bali had been endowed with extraordinary power by the Brahmanas, the demigods could not fight with him. Their only hope was to gain the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Indeed, there was no alternative. Under the circumstances, Brihaspati advised the demigods to leave the heavenly planets and keep themselves somewhere invisible. The demigods followed his orders, and Bali Maharaj, along with his associates, gained the entire kingdom of Indra. How you like that? The descendants of Bhrigu Muni, being very affectionate to their disciple Bali Maharaj, engaged him in performing 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas. In this way, Bali enjoyed the opulences of the heavenly planets. Text 1. Shri Raja Uvacha Vale Padatrayam Bhume Kasmadharir Ayachata Bhuteshvara Kripanaval Labdhartopi Babandatam. Please repeat. Shri Raja Uvacha. Oh, that's not the way we do it. Okay. Shri Raja Uvacha Bale Padatrayam Bhume Kasmadharir Ayachata Bhuteshvara Kripanaval Labdhartopi Babandhatam. There is no purport, but there is translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. You want me to read the second verse also in Sanskrit? Okay. Maharaj Parikshit inquired, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the proprietor of everything. Why did he beg 3 paces of land from Bali Maharaj like a poor man? And when he got the gift for which he had begged, why did he nonetheless arrest Bali Maharaj? I am very much anxious to know the mystery of these contradictions." So that's verse 1 and 2 combined. Text number 3. We will read the translation. Shukadev Goswami said, "O King, when Bali Maharaj lost all his opulence and died in the fight, Shukracharya, a descendant of Bhrigu Muni, brought him back to life. Because of this, the great soul Bali Maharaj became a disciple of Shukracharya and began to serve him with great faith, offering everything he had." Text 4. The Brahmana descendants of Bhrigu Muni were very pleased with Bali Maharaj, who desired to conquer the kingdom of Indra. Therefore, after purifying him and properly bathing him according to regulative principles, they engaged him in performing the yajna known as Vishwajit. Text number 5. When ghee, clarified butter, was offered in the fire of sacrifice, there appeared from the fire a celestial chariot covered with gold and silk. There also appeared yellow horses like those of Indra and a flag marked with a lion. Text 6. A gilded bow, 2 quivers of infallible arrows, and celestial armor also appeared. Bali Maharaj's grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj, offered Bali a garland of flowers that would never fade, and Shukracharya gave him a conch shell. Text 7. When Maharaj Bali had thus performed the special ritualistic ceremony advised by the Brahmanas and had received by their grace the equipment for fighting, he circumambulated the Brahmanas and offered them obeisances. He also saluted Prahlad Maharaj and offered obeisances to him. Text 8 and 9. Then, after getting on the chariot given by Shukracharya, Bali Maharaj, decorated with a nice garland, put protective armor on his body, equipped himself with a bow, and took up a sword and a quiver of arrows. When he sat down on the seat of the chariot, his arms decorated with golden bangles and his ears with sapphire earrings, he shone like a worshipable fire. Text 10 and 11. When he assembled with his own soldiers and the demon chiefs, who were equal to him in strength, opulence and beauty, they appeared as if they would swallow the sky and burn all directions with their vision. After thus gathering the demoniac soldiers, Bali Maharaj departed for the opulent capital of Indra. Indeed, he seemed to make the entire surface of the world tremble. Text 12. Now we are coming to a beautiful description of the kingdom of Lord Indra. Or, not Lord, well, he is in one sense, King Indra, the chief of the demigods. King Indra's city was full of pleasing orchards and gardens, such as the Nandana garden. Because of the weight of the flowers, leaves and fruit, the branches of the eternally existing trees were bending down. The gardens were visited by pairs of chirping birds and singing bees. The entire atmosphere was celestial. Text 13. Beautiful women, protected by the demigods, sported in the gardens which had lotus ponds full of swans, cranes, chakravakas and ducks. Text 14. The city was surrounded by trenches full of Ganges water, known as Akash Ganga, and by a high wall which was the color of fire. Can you imagine that? Upon this wall were parapets for fighting. Text 15. The doors were made of solid gold plates, and the gates were of excellent marble. These were linked by various public roads. The entire city had been constructed by Vishwakarma. Text 16. The city was full of courtyards, wide roads, assembly houses, and not less than 100 million airplanes. Even the biggest fleet of airplanes in this world may have probably 300 or 500 airplanes, not more. But here, the city has 100 million airplanes. So it was not a big deal for them. The crossroads were made of pearl, and there were sitting places made of diamond and coral. Text 17. Everlastingly beautiful and youthful women who were dressed with clean garments glittered in the city like fires with flames. They all possessed the quality of Shama. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a hint of the quality of the Shama woman. Shita kale bhaved ushna, ushma kale shushitalaha, stanau sukhati nau yasam, ta shyama parikirtitaha. A woman whose body is very warm during the winter and cool during the summer and who generally has very firm breasts is called Shama. So this purport is giving the qualities of the woman called Shama. All these women don't exist here. They exist in the celestial world. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti tells us about it. This reminds me, His Holiness Prahladananda Maharaj, just a few classes ago, said that Srimad Bhagavatam is just full of sex life. So it might sound very shocking to hear this. But actually, all these descriptions of the celestial world, the celestial women, the celestial planets, the various living entities, their interactions and what they experience, what they go through, gives us complete knowledge of everything that be. Because it is Srimad Bhagavatam. It is coming from Krishna himself. So nothing is incomplete. Nothing is secret. Nothing is hidden. Nothing is left out. It's complete. So everything is there. So we have to learn and understand what this great literature is all about. So we'll keep going because the pastime is more about Bali Maharaj than these celestial women. So I don't want to dwell too much on that. Text number 18. The breezes blowing in the streets of the city bore the fragrance of the flowers falling from the hairs of the women of the demigods. Text number 19. Apsaras passed on the streets which were covered with white fragrant smoke of aguru incense emanating from windows with golden filigree. Text 20. The city was shaded by canopies decorated with pearls, and the domes of the palaces had flags of pearl and gold. The city always resounded with the vibrations of peacocks, pigeons and bees. And above the city flew airplanes full of beautiful women who constantly chanted auspicious songs that were very pleasing to the ear. Text 21. The city was filled with the sounds of mridangas, conch shells, kettle drums, flutes, and well-tuned stringed instruments all playing in concert. There was constant dancing and the Gandharvas sang. The combined beauty of Indrapuri defeated beauty personified. Text 22. No one who was sinful, envious, violent towards other living entities, cunning, falsely proud, lusty or greedy could enter that city. The people who lived there were all devoid of these faults. Text 23. Bali Maharaj, who was the commander of numberless soldiers, gathered his soldiers outside this abode of Indra and attacked it from all directions. He sounded the conch shell given him by his spiritual master Shukracharya, thus creating a fearful situation for the women protected by Indra. Text 24. Seeing Bali Maharaj's indefatigable endeavor and understanding his motive, King Indra, along with the other demigods, approached his spiritual master Brihaspati and spoke as follows. Now, this is very interesting. So, listen up. Text 25. My lord, our old enemy, Bali Maharaj, now has new enthusiasm. And he has obtained such astonishing power that we think that perhaps we cannot resist his prowess. Text 26. No one anywhere can counteract this military arrangement of Bali's. It now appears that Bali is trying to drink up the entire universe with his mouth, lick up the 10 directions with his tongue, and raise fire in every direction with his eyes. Indeed, he has arisen like the annihilating fire known as Samvartaka. Text 27. Kindly inform me, what is the cause for Bali Maharaj's strength, endeavor, influence, and victory? How has he become so enthusiastic? Text 28. Brihaspati, the spiritual master of the demigods, said, O Indra, I know the cause for your enemies becoming so powerful. The Brahmana descendants of Bhrigu Muni, being pleased by Bali Maharaj, their disciple, endowed him with such extraordinary power. Purport. Brihaspati, the spiritual master of the demigods, informed Indra, ordinarily, Bali and his forces could not achieve such strength. But it appears that the Brahmana descendants of Bhrigu Muni, being pleased with Bali Maharaj, endowed them with this spiritual power. In other words, Brihaspati informed Indra that Bali Maharaj's prowess was not his own, but that of his exalted guru, Shukracharya. We sing in our daily prayers, Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada nagati kutopi. By the pleasure of the spiritual master, one can get extraordinary power, especially in spiritual advancement. The blessings of the spiritual master are more powerful than one's personal endeavor for such advancement. Narottam Das Thakur therefore says, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Koriya Aikya Arana Koriho Mane Asha. Especially for spiritual advancement, one should carry out the bona fide order of the spiritual master. By the parampara system, one can thus be endowed with the original spiritual power coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo viduhu. Om agyanati mirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshur unmilitam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. Shri chaitanya mano bhishtam stapitam yena bhutale. Svayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadantikam. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I offer my humble obeisances to all the assembled Vaishnavs and Vaishnavis. I humbly beg for your blessings, especially those of my senior devotees, humbly requesting you all to please bless me that I may be able to do this service of giving this class as ordered by my spiritual master. So thank you all for listening patiently through many, many translations. We have a very wonderful purport here, wherein Indra is astonished at the power of Bali Maharaj. He's saying, how is this person, a demon, he has become so powerful that he has the gall to attack us? Now remember, Indra is very powerful. He's the chief of the demigods. He can send clouds that can cause the rain of devastation. Samvartaka. His thunderbolt weapon is invincible. So this is a very powerful demigod. But Bali Maharaj has now got so much strength that he has come to attack Indra. So So he's asking, how is this possible? So he goes running to his spiritual master, Brihaspati. And he asks Brihaspati, what is going on here? How is this person, Bali Maharaj, become so powerful that he has come to attack Indrapuri? So Brihaspati, his spiritual master, then tells him, you know what Bali Maharaj has done? He has pleased his spiritual master, Shukracharya, and all the descendants of that saint, Bhrigu Muni, and his descendants are very pleased with Bali Maharaj. So it seems like Bhrigu Muni is connected with Shukracharya because they all have blessed Bali Maharaj and given him tremendous spiritual power. They have even performed the sacrifice, and out of that fire comes chariot, horses, flags, quivers of arrows, bows, and then he's blessed with Prahlad Maharaj, his grandfather, who blesses him with an eternally vibrant garland of flowers. Shukracharya gives him a sacred conch shell. So now Bali Maharaj is very, very, very powerful. No one can defeat him except the Supreme Lord, of course. So Brihaspati says, no way you can win the fight. You better hide or you'll be finished. Run away. There's no point in putting up a fight because you will lose. So they say discretion is the better part of valor. So you must know when to fight and when not to fight. You must know how to choose your battles. We can't win every battle. Sometimes we will lose. So here his spiritual master is saying, for now, you better if you all disappear, become invisible and disappear, because this person at this point is very powerful and no one except the Supreme Lord can defeat him. So the time is not right. We can't do anything right now. Now how has Bali Maharaj become so powerful? Because he has pleased his spiritual master, Shukracharya. And this is the key to advancing in spiritual life. Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadan nagati kutopi, dhyayan stuvam stasya yashastri sandhyam, vande guru shri charanaravindam. So if you want to know what is the secret to becoming powerful and strong and advancing in Krishna consciousness, do you want to know the secret? It's an open secret. Please the spiritual master. Because only by pleasing the spiritual master will we make advancement in our Krishna consciousness. So that means taking the order of the spiritual master as our life and soul. How did Srila Prabhupada begin this International Society for Krishna Consciousness and then spread it all over the world? He was just a very old sadhu, a saintly person from India, 70 years old, suffered 2 heart attacks. No money, no influence, no political connections, no support, no encouragement, knowing no one in America. And he travels and comes to America. And he lives in the most difficult conditions. And he starts the Hare Krishna movement, which spreads like wildfire. And the whole world is now chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. How has this miracle happened? Who in the Western world had even heard about Krishna? Who knew that we are eternal spirit souls? Who knew that this is not our home, that we belong in the spiritual world with Krishna? Who knew all these things? All this knowledge was confined just to India, to just a very few chosen people, and not the whole world knew about it. But Srila Prabhupada came on the order of Lord Chaitanya, which is everywhere. Spread this movement everywhere. पृथ्वी थे अच्छे यथ नगर आदि ग्राम सर्वत्र प्रचार हो बे मोरा नाम. इन एवरी टाउन एंड विलेज माई होली नेम विल बी संग. So Srila Prabhupada took the words of his spiritual master, which was, you are an educated young man. Why don't you go to speak? Why don't you go and preach this message of Lord Chaitanya in the English-speaking countries? This was the very first instruction in the very first meeting given to Srila Prabhupada by his spiritual master, his divine grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Thakur, Srila Prabhupada. We have the picture right there, right next to Srila Prabhupada. So his spiritual master had given him this order. And then many years later, in 1922, when he first met his spiritual master. Then again, in 1936, late November or December, I think, Srila Prabhupada again wrote, saying, what can I do to serve you? I am a grihastha, I am a householder. You have many disciples, brahmacharis and sannyasis. They are giving you direct service. I can only help from time to time, giving some monetary donations, because I am a householder. What can I do to serve you, my dear spiritual master? And again, the same message came. I have every hope that you can turn yourself into a very good English preacher. This will do much good to you and to the people of the world. So Srila Prabhupada understood, this is the same message that was given to me 14 years ago in 1922. And Srila Prabhupada took that very, very, very seriously. He didn't say, oh, how can I do this? How can I follow this order? I'm just a little man in India. How can I go here, there, to the Western countries? I have no money. I don't know. He could have just given up. He could have just said, I will go to Vrindavan. Maybe someone else can do this. This seems very difficult. I cannot do it. But no! He took that order on his head. And he said, this is the order of my Guru Maharaj. So no matter what the difficulty, I will do my best to carry it out. So, there's a very beautiful verse. It goes like this. Mukham karoti vachalam, pangum langayate girim, yat kripa tamaham vande, shri gurun divnatharini. You know what it means? By the mercy of the spiritual master, a lame man can climb mountains. A blind man can see the stars, and a dumb man can sing eloquent poetry. How is that possible? By the mercy of the spiritual master. And the mercy of the spiritual master is the mercy of the Lord, where the impossible becomes possible. Because for God, nothing is impossible. Even the Bible has this saying, with man, these things are not possible. Jesus said this. But with God, all things are possible. Because Krishna is supremely powerful. He can do anything. So you see, one who takes the order of the spiritual master as his life and soul, or her life and soul, will be successful in carrying out the mission of the spiritual master. So, we want to listen very carefully when the spiritual master is telling us something, because this is the words coming from Krishna through the mouth of our spiritual master. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Koriya Aikya Arana Koriho Mane Asha. Make the words emanating from the lotus mouth of our spiritual master one with your heart. And do not desire anything else. And the next line is, attachment to his lotus feet is the best means of spiritual advancement. His mercy fulfills all desires for spiritual perfection. So this is the key. We must understand the power of the spiritual master is the power of Krishna. And when we tune into that power, when we make our hearts one with the order of the spiritual master, we will also become empowered to carry out that order. Once I remember talking to my Guru Maharaj and saying, "Oh Guru Maharaj, please give me your mercy, please give me your mercy." And my Guru Maharaj said, "The mercy is in the instructions." Follow the instructions. That's the mercy. So then, when it comes to following instructions, we say, "Ah, this is too difficult. Oh my gosh, how can I do this? Ah, I give up." But the spiritual master has given you that instruction so that you can advance in bhakti. But many times we are like rebellious children. We don't want to listen. We don't want to obey. We think we know better than the spiritual master what is good for us. So we try to dictate. Sorry about this cough. I remember I was in Mayapur and a very senior Mataji was being consulted about a marriage proposal. She was sitting with the guru of this young girl. The young couple were there in front of him. And the young girl was trying to convince her spiritual master that it was a good idea for her to marry this young man. So the spiritual master was listening to their, how their relationship evolved and all the twists and turns and all the difficulties and everything. And in the end, the spiritual master turned to Mother Yashomati. She was Mother Yashomati and she said, "What do you think?" So Mother Yashomati expressed some reservations. She did not think, you know, it was sustainable for this young couple to be together. So she expressed that. And then she turned to Maharaj and said, "Maharaj, what do you think?" So Maharaj, with his divine vision, he can see everything. And he said, "I think they should never see each other again." Because he could see it's not going to work. The young lady listened to this and then she got up and she walked out. And then after some time she told Mother Yashomati, "Oh, my spiritual master is such a jokester. He's telling me not to see him again. It's a joke, isn't it?" So when you try to make the spiritual master like a mundane person and dismiss his words as, "Oh, it's just a joke. It's not, I don't have to take it seriously," you're actually digging your own grave, practically speaking, because you're messing up the one thing that is going to save you. This is our foolishness. This is our stupidity, because we do not take the words of the spiritual master seriously. This actually retards, hampers, or even spoils our progress in bhakti yoga. So we want to be very careful and understand the position of the spiritual master. He can empower you tremendously, provided you're willing to be faithful and chaste to the process of bhakti yoga, which means following the process nicely. Then we will become more and more empowered, enthused, enlivened, encouraged, and become an instrument for Krishna's mercy. How did this great Chaitanya Charitamrita come to be written? Do you know? Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was over 90 years old. He was nearly blind. He could not see. His hands were trembling. He could not even hold the pen. And he writes this. He says this. But somehow, by the mercy of the spiritual master, I am writing this Chaitanya Charitamrita. And here we have Chaitanya Charitamrita. So sweet. Pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. So, never ever think, "I'm too young, I'm too old, I'm too thin, I'm too short, I'm too stupid, I'm too..." You are nothing except a child of God, and by His mercy, you can do great things. Nothing is impossible for Krishna. But for that, you must be willing to follow the order of the spiritual master. How? Humble submission. Tad vidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshinaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. So this is the way to approach the pure spiritual master: humble submission, sincere service, and serious inquiry. You don't ask spiritual master, shall I buy a car, shall I do this, shall I... I mean, sometimes you can ask, because important decisions, which are materially, you know, important, will affect your spiritual life. So definitely, certain things, but is it what color sari I should wear, how I should do my hair, these are silly questions. And so we don't ask these silly questions, we ask important questions about our spiritual life to our spiritual master, knowing that he is a mercy manifestation of Krishna. Come down to the spiritual, material world to save us, to take us back home, back to Godhead. So the key to advancing in spiritual life is to please the spiritual master. As this purport says, yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada na gati kutopi, dhyayanstu vamstasya yashastri sandhyam, vande guru shri charanaravindam. 3 times a day, I bow down to the lotus feet of my spiritual master. I offer my humble obeisances, and I know only by pleasing my spiritual master will I make advancement. And if I do not please my spiritual master, there is no way Krishna will be pleased with me. Not possible. No, sir. So now we know the answer. How to make advancement, right? Pleasing the Guru means pleasing Krishna. And how do we please the Guru? By following the program given to us. What does the Guru say? Chant Hare Krishna. So we must chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now sometimes we say, oh, I've been chanting for so many years, I'm not making any advancement, I have no taste, I don't like this, I don't like that, I find everything a problem, nothing seems to be alright, everything is a problem, this is a problem, that person is a problem, this situation is a problem, this is... But how are we taking the medicine? Enechi aushadi maya, nasibaro lagi, harinama maha mantra lao tumi magi. Attentive chanting is the key. When we are chanting inattentively, offensively, it's like cooking with smoke, as Srila Prabhupada said. So we want to make nice advancement, so we must take the medicine properly. The material disease has to be cured. So taking the medicine is very important. So following the process nicely, obeying the orders of the spiritual master, and we will make nice progress in bhakti yoga. And one fine day, we will see Krishna face to face. This is what Srila Prabhupada has written, and he says this. One must be very eager to see Krishna. So laulyam, we want to get that greed for seeing Krishna, for being with Krishna. And we will get all these wonderful devotional qualities by following the process of bhakti yoga, by pleasing the spiritual master, we will be able to make nice advancement in bhakti yoga. So thank you very much for listening very patiently to this very long class. We will now open up for questions, comments, corrections.
What is that... Yagya, this, it was written on Shri...
Vishwajit Yagya. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Vishwajit. Vishwajit. Yes, at least it describes it. I don't know, I'm not such an expert. But the description is that it was a fire Yagya. And out of that came all these wonderful sacred paraphernalia. Vishwa means world, Jit means conquer. So Vishwajit means something so powerful that you can conquer the world. Vishwajit. Anything else? Any other questions, comments? Everybody is clear, huh? Yes, please take the microphone. Thank you.
usually it said that that it's greater mercy that that we lose some material opulences, but here and the whole lecture the emphasis was on material gain by serving the spiritual master.
Mm-hmm.
So if when when Krishna decides for one option and when he decides for the opposite, when how why mercy sometimes comes like this and like as a law in the form of loss and sometimes in the form of material gain.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and what is better?
Well, anything that enhances our bhakti is definitely better. But here, Bali Maharaj was not aspiring for devotional service. He was a king, he was a conqueror, and he wanted to conquer more and more and more. And by pleasing his spiritual master, he got those powers. And remember, Shukracharya, as we have seen, was not in the disciplic succession because he was then teaching his disciple to gain more and more power. In fact, when the Lord came as Vamanadev, he said, no, don't give him anything. He'll take away everything. Remember that? So further down the line, we will see how Bali Maharaj is convinced that this is not the way. So he refuses to obey the orders of the spiritual master and saying, if this is the Supreme Lord, I want to satisfy him.
That he was in a disciplic succession, otherwise he couldn't bestow such blessings on Bali Maharaj.
Not so. There are very many powerful spiritual masters who are not into bhakti yoga, but they can still grant a lot of spiritual and material opulences to their disciples. Shukracharya was not teaching him devotional service to the Lord. And that is why Bali Maharaj later on rejected him. And there are other, disciplines in which you can acquire great mystic powers. Shukracharya brought him back to life. He had great powers. So, but that still doesn't mean that you have devotional service. And then later on, after all, you know, Vamanandev comes and says, give me 3 paces of land. And then Bali Maharaj deliberates and says, if this is the Supreme Lord and he's asking and he's going to take over, still I surrender. This is a very great act of surrender on the part of such a powerful king who had so much opulence. So there are many instances where people had great spiritual powers, but they were not devotees. Vishwamitra Muni, he was very powerful. But he was performing austerities and penances and so on. So, Durvas Muni, very, very powerful sage. You see, like that. Not devotee because Ambarish Maharaj was the devotee and Durvas got angry with him and offended him. But ultimately the Sudarshan Chakra of the Lord chased him and then he had to fall at the feet of the devotee. So, however powerful someone may be, if they are not in the line of bhakti yoga, ultimately they will have to submit to the spirit, to the Supreme Lord, because that is our ultimate position. We are nothing but servitors of Krishna. So the highest is bhakti yoga, but along the way you may get a lot of mystic powers. You may even want material opulences, and Krishna doesn't give you an opulence that will pull you down in bhakti. If he gives you an opulence, it will be to enhance your love and devotion to him. Because he doesn't want his devotee to go down. He wants to pull his devotee up. That's a very interesting question you ask, because in chapter 88 of Krishna book, Maharaj Parikshit asks Shukadev Goswami, how is it that Lord Shiva, he lives in crematoriums. His body is covered with ashes. He just wears a little tiger skin. He has no home even. But his devotees are very opulent. And Lord Vishnu, who is the husband of the goddess of fortune in the Vaikuntha planets, living in opulence, his devotees are poverty stricken. How is this? So then a very nice explanation follows, where Shukadev Goswami explains how Ashutosh, Lord Shiva, is easily pleased. So he will grant a benediction without thinking very much about it. But Lord Vishnu is not like that. He will give a benediction with due consideration whether this is for the ultimate good of my devotee or not. So very nice explanation is given. And then it tells that, and also Srila Prabhupada explains the material opulence, it is actually being arranged for the Lord for that devotee to do more and to do better in service to the Lord. And it's not something that will be taken away. But when Krishna wants to bring you to a point of more and more surrender, he may take your material opulences away. And there's a very nice description that the fellow is now rejected by family, friends, everyone, because he has got nothing. And then he tries again and again to get back his material opulence. Nothing works. Finally, he throws up his hands in surrender and says, okay, Krishna, I am yours now. So, Krishna may take away material opulence. He may also grant a material opulence. But in either case, the devotee will make advancement. You see? Krishna will not do something to pull you down. He will always protect your spiritual life. He may take away some material things, but your spiritual life, he always protects. Is that clear? Okay, thank you. Any other questions, comments? You have a follow-up question to that? You look as though you're thinking. Okay. All right, thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.